stations, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A border town in Texas had declared a state of emergency as migrant crossings top 8,000 a day. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in El Paso.
We are inside a migrant support center run by the county of El Paso, and they're getting about 600 people on average coming through here every day, a reflection of the spike in numbers at the border. The majority of the people here, I'm being told, are from Venezuela, and what they do here is they're released from federal custody with an asylum appointment, and then they're trying to figure out how to get potentially to a relative or to their next destination on a bus or on an airplane.
More than 110,000 asylum seekers have been sent to sanctuary cities across the country since last spring. Auto worker strikes are still going strong outside plants in Ohio, Missouri, and Michigan.
I just know as Ford employees, we work really hard and we're just trying to get what we deserve.
We just want a fair deal and something that will take care of our families, not just today, but in the future. This used to be the choice job. It used to be the job that you had, that you wanted to have, one of the big three. You were set for life, and now you can't live.
Stellantis announced today it's cutting hundreds of workers in two states during strikes. GM idled a plant in Kansas. No change today on the federal interest rate. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
We've covered a lot of ground, and the full effects of our tightening have yet to be felt.
It follows nearly a dozen increases. CBS's Jason Brooks.
The Fed is content to leave the federal funds rate at a range of 5.25% to 5.5% for the next 2 months, as it takes time to assess the impact of high rates on inflation and the economy. Worries over high inflation persist at the central bank, and it's still forecasting the possibility of one more quarter-point rate hike before the end of the year.
You can request more test kits ahead of an expected COVID surge this fall. Reporter Alexander Tin.
The Biden administration says it is planning to reopen COVIDtest.gov for another round of four free rapid tests for each household. Americans will be able to request the test starting Monday, September 25.
It has been 12 years now since the military repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but there's a new effort now to correct wrongful discharges. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Many veterans say they have been wrongly denied benefits over the years. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks.
We are announcing that DOD will, for the first time, begin proactively reviewing the military records of veterans discharged because of their sexual orientation.
And if your kid plays Fortnite, you could get a refund. Epic Games has to pay $37 million in penalties for violating children's privacy. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried New Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you probably...
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Luke Fickell Show, brought to you by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. The Badgers concluding the non-conference portion of the schedule last Saturday, a 35-14 win against Georgia Southern, and now the Big Ten games begin Friday night. Badgers playing down at Purdue, Ross-Aid Stadium. They're expecting a sellout there under the lights at that 100-year-old stadium. Our coverage will start at 4 o'clock Central Time. Kickoff is set for 6 for the Badgers and the Purdue Boilermakers. We welcome in the Badgers head coach. I know, Luke, you mentioned Monday in your news conference, it's the Big Ten. You probably don't have to say a whole lot else. Your players, they're probably more bounce. I mean, there's just something about league play that gets everybody's attention. The rah-rah speeches probably don't really need to
happen. Yeah, I think when you start the fall camp and everything, there's no such thing as preseason, but we all know that those first three are different, right? I mean, in the whole objective to what it is that you want to do each and every year, and we always kind of draw a line, and there's not like something that you just circle like, oh, these are the games, but it's that line that's drawn to say, okay, this is when Big Ten season begins, and we've got to make sure that we're at full strength when Big Ten season begins, meaning there's a lot of growth through those first three games, but there's growth through the entire Big Ten season, but you got to be ready and you got to be focused for when that Big Ten season begins.
What have you liked the most out of your team through these first three games? Well, what do you feel like you can really build on here?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of ups and downs. They've handled a lot of different situations, whether you're down, whether you lost a game, whether you just didn't play well in the first half and some of those situations. So I think right now, I mean, there is a confidence level of resiliency. We all kind of are on ourselves and say, okay, how do we begin and start faster and play four quarters? But I think that, when you've had to go through some of that stuff, especially in this year one, you do learn more about each other. When you lose a football game, when you're down a football game, when your backs are against the wall in some of those situations, you learn more about each other. And, I know there's a lot of growth and we understand that, but there are a lot of things that we probably learned more in those first three games, maybe than we would have expected, hoping that, we would have had some different situations in maybe some of those games.
You mentioned the starts, but this time last week, we were talking about trying to force turnovers. You got 6 against their quarterback. And Tausch and I were talking, Luke, during the game. He had one of the more impressive bad games, I guess, 6 turnovers. He made some big-time throws, though. I mean, you guys were able to heat him up and force those turnovers. But he also, it seemed like on a handful of occasions, you guys did everything right, and he just dropped it in the bucket.
He did. He threw some good balls, and we played against him a few times. That'd be the third time in 3 years that we've played against him. So I knew he had the ability to throw some really good balls. And even on some of those ones where a guy was open on a rub route or something, he still hit him in stride and gave him a chance. So, yeah, it is unique. He threw the ball well, but he also threw the ball to us a few too many times. And I think 4 of those 5 were pressure. He was hit at least on 2 of those. 1 was tipped. So they're balls that, maybe he wishes he had back, but they're also, it wasn't a clean ball that was thrown by him.
Yeah, you got to him, what, 9 times last year, 11 sacks in the game against his team last year. But you had an interesting, another interesting comment Monday about quarterback sacks. It reminds me, basketball coaches around here I've talked to, they will say shots blocked can be overrated. It's shots altered that matter. If you make somebody maybe put more arch on it, whatever the case, sacks are great. But it's about disruptions. That's a bigger stat for you.
Yeah, I don't know about that shot blocking thing. I've never been much of a basketball guy. You have to coach guard for all that. But being a former wrestler, I think it's twofold. I think that you want to be able to affect the quarterback, and there's many different ways to affect him. Pressure is one. But I also think it's a mentality sometimes, right? I mean, if all you're thinking about is sacks up front, whether I'm blitzing or I'm rushing, or you kind of can lose focus on the things that you need to be able to do sometimes, right? I mean, it's all or nothing. And sometimes it's not always about that knockout punch. It's about doing the little things and squeezing pockets. So it's kind of twofold. I think that there's a lot of other things besides the sack with tip balls and pressures. But also I think it becomes something mentality-wise that you don't want your guys to get so far outside of recognizing what they might be getting and just say, I'm just going to run around this edge and get a sack. So it's kind of a balance to say, hey, we love them, but there's a lot of other things that go along with it that are every bit as good.
Yeah, James Thompson Jr. is one of those guys who does all the above, gets to the quarterback and he gets a deflected pass. I mean, he's a delight to talk to. And I know we had Coach Scruggs on your show last week. He's really, is it fair to say that he's starting to come into his own right now as a really good D lineman in this league?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, not knowing where he's coming from, obviously I knew him out of high school. He's from Cincinnati, but not knowing where he's coming from the last 2 years. I think that's the thing about being in year one. There's a lot of these guys that you're recognizing the growth in the last like 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, just seeing them actually playing more ball. And, so I think it's great. I don't know exactly how he was and what he did all last year, but I know through, you know, fall camp and all the way through the first 3 games of the season that he has definitely created a lot more of what it is we're looking for. And it's not always just by the sacks or the tackles, but there's a guy who's 6'5", 6'6", and can create a lot of other issues for offense in particular because of his size and length.
You're learning about this team as you would any year. I mean, it doesn't matter, as you said, if it's your first year, your fourth or fifth, you're learning your personnel. Are you feeling like you're getting on an encouraging path in terms of depth on the defensive line? I've never heard a coach say, yep, we're good, but you feel like you're getting a little closer to that area?
I think we are. I think that as you see through those games, you see guys that, you know, started off with 10, 12 snaps, and then they're up to 15, 18, 20, 22. There's a better balance. And usually that you got to see if you can maintain that. Sometimes it goes the other direction, where I think that from the first 3 and pushing into this week, I see it going in the better direction. Because sometimes when you come in and you've got guys that are well-established, you say, okay, we only want to play them 65, 70% of the snaps. And you do in the first 3 games, but then as you go into game 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all of a sudden it goes up to 85. And at the end of the year, you don't have what you want. And I think it's kind of the other direction with us right now, and there's a lot of really good balance in that front.
I know you talked, somebody asked you about Ben Barton earlier in the week, Wisconsin guy, and this time last year I wasn't sure he would be someone who could get into a rotation. He obviously is. Kurt Neal didn't, you know, senior year in high school, was hurt, didn't play. Darian Varner coming back from being banged up. Those guys, closer and closer, in particular Neal and Varner, are really getting into some rhythm right now.
Those are two guys that have not done much since we've been here. Obviously, Darian Varner had a foot surgery when he came in, had to have it redone when he got here, so he missed all of spring, all of winter, and really didn't get into fall camp until late in fall camp. And then Kurt Neal had, you know, a knee issue and had it scoped right there in fall camp and probably missed 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So now we're just, you know, there were those few weeks behind that maybe they would have been in a different spot week one had, you know, they had been there for spring football or all through the winter or even Kurt through all of fall camp. So that's why I kind of
said, I think we're on the trajectory and we're starting to get to where we want to be able to be. And with that, you know, some guys playing 60%, maybe 40%, maybe 30% because of the health of those two guys.
Going back to last week's game, Trey Wettig was playing both right and left guard. Was that the plan going in to get him those reps on either side?
Yeah, he's that other guy that you feel like is a starter. And that was the first week last week that there was balanced reps between all three of those guards. Trey's also a guy that can bump out and play some tackle. You know, obviously in practice is another guy that's, you know, very versatile in what he's doing. But yeah, there's that balance that you don't normally have as an offensive line group, right? That you don't normally sub in the offensive line on a regular basis. But we have some of that luxury.
I don't know if anybody asked you this after the game. The offensive line coach, it continues to show his toughness. Jack Bignell on that play toward on the sideline. I mean, he was down. We're looking like, you're going to get up, you're going to get up. And then he did. He put the headset on, went back to work. So when something like this happens and everybody knows he's okay, I imagine it gets a little relentless, right?
Yeah, it does. I actually had to apologize to him after the game. At the situation at the time of the game, I had no idea what had happened. Someone said Jack went down, and my first thought was, well, tell him to get up. So it was fine after we knew that he was okay and everything, and he's not allowed to limp, so he knows that. So we got to make sure that we don't show any weakness over there with our offensive line coach. But it was good to see that he got up and he was all right. But he took a better shot than I had any idea of.
Well, I know. I think it happened in spring ball, and Phil Longo, of course, had to post it and then have, you know, on social media. And have you ever been run over? It does happen now and then.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. I don't really remember. I think that I've been fortunate enough to at least not be at the spotlight, let's just say that. I'm sure I've been hit and knocked, and I guess maybe being a nose guard, I was knocked down so many times and run over so many times that I'm better at getting out of the way as I get older.
It was a moment. Again, fortunately, we could have some levity, but yeah, when he went down, like, whoa, this is rough here. But he bounced right back up and went on to work, and you guys beat him up later verbally. We will take a break. Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/contest to enter for your chance to be the Culver's VIP family at a UW football game this season. Four families will be selected for the chance to compete for cash on the field at halftime. That's uwbadgers.com/contest. We will take a break. The Luke Fickell Show brought to you by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. Four generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
It takes perfect execution to get to the end zone. The right play, the right formation, the right route. Every moment is meticulously practiced and perfected to defeat the opponent. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our award-winning team tackles cancer head-on with the same kind of precision. We work smarter and fight harder with customized treatments and world-class doctors. The team at UW Health Carbone Cancer Center stops at nothing to intercept and defeat even the most complex cancers. UW Health. Remarkable.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Celebrate homecoming with the Wisconsin Badgers at Camp Randall Stadium. Now is your chance to be there when the Badgers take the field on October 7th against Rutgers. With multiple sold-out games this season, it's time to act fast and lock in your spot for game day. For more information and to purchase your Wisconsin football tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Coach Fickle here. When I got to Madison, I was in the market for a new car, and my first call was Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. I needed a car with a lot of space, and the Zimbrick team made it easy every step of the way. I looked at Hondas, Hyundais, Buick, GMC, Genesis, and Infiniti. The key to their success is selection and one-stop shopping. Every day is game day at Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. So take a page from my playbook, find your next new or used vehicle at Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road or online at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com.
Whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones, we know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need so you can focus on what's most important to you. Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Badger Athletics. We continue with the Luke Fickle Show, brought to you by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. The Badgers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers on Friday night. Friday night football down in West Lafayette, 6 o'clock kick on Central Time. Put a wrap on the last game. I was talking to Hayden Rucci earlier in the week, Luke, and he just really, you know, the long pass play obviously gets everybody's attention. And that's wonderful, but what I would imagine really gets your attention and then the staff more is his blocking ability. He's really doing a good job carving out space for guys, isn't he?
No, that's probably one of the guys that has grown the most, and just, you know, in particular from fall camp all the way through, just his versatility that, you know, I think maybe going in, nobody was sure about, right? I mean, he played a lot of football and you know, played well at the line of scrimmage and more in line, and then his challenge to grow, to be able to play out in space a little bit more and to learn a different passing game and system, and then when you can bring him back into that, you know, area he probably is a little bit more comfortable with, just because of the nature of what he's done the last 3 and 4 years, he's showing a lot more versatility in what he's able to do, but his point of attack blocking and our ability to run the football obviously is something that we got to make sure we continue to stick with.
Every game has several highlights, if you will, that we would all play on television programs. A couple that stood out, though, was Tanner Mordecai with maybe some help from Ches Malusi down near the goal line. It was a shotgun snap that was a little bit off target, able to pull it back in, keep his composure and score, and then Hunter Wohler high-pointing that pick in the end zone. But that was a pretty Johnny Cool moment for Mordecai and Ches Malusi to turn, you know, what it could have been a turnover into a touchdown.
I don't know if I'd say just a little bit of a backstab. It was a bit off the mark a little bit, and I think that's where you just see some of his poise. You see some of his confidence that, you know, I think I might have said it afterwards, that a lot of people would have just made sure that he secured the football and went down and lived to fight another down. And, you know, he just kind of goes transitions right into, you know, how do I make a play out of this thing? And so first and foremost, they secured the ball. He's a good enough athlete, obviously, and with good enough hands and ball skills that even on a, you know, a rough snap, he can haul it in. And his ability to transition and recognize and make a play out of nothing is pretty impressive.
Watching several of the training camp practices, I would be out there a handful of times with Coach Alvarez, and he was talking about Tanner. He was saying he moves better than I thought. I, meaning Barry here. Certainly saw that on the 18-yard touchdown run. He's had some other plays better than we thought. Was that part of what attracted you guys? I mean, the throwing, obviously, and all that, but some of his ability to move, too.
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't till last year. I think the first year when we had played against him, didn't have any idea of truly his athleticism. Going into our game, we played him a year ago, is when we realized and recognized some of his abilities to run the football. And I think he had a couple really long runs against Navy and some all-out pressures. And that's when all of a sudden, I remember when game planning for him, where we recognized how athletic he was and how well he could run. And, you know, we saw it a little bit of a plan against him, I think, in our last game. But I still didn't know exactly what that is. Some people can run fast, and then there's some people that don't run as fast but are really athletic. And I think he's got a unique combination. And if you look at him, you might not know that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start to really watch and see him play, you see there's some uniqueness that can get overlooked.
Yeah, that secret's getting out now in the Big Ten, I'm sure, is that, no, this kid not only can sling it, he can move. No, your offensive player of the game, Braylon Allen, in the first half, 4 carries, 16 yards. His first 4 carries of the second half, 57. You know, the long run. He just, and you guys had mentioned, and Braylon mentioned, he was a little bit, you know, didn't feel quite the greatest going into the game. But in the second half, did he just trust it more? Like, just go ahead and let it, as you would like to say, let it fly?
I think. I mean, you know, obviously through the first half, there's some things. You make some adjustments and stuff. And, you know, and that's kind of what it takes sometimes. Sometimes you got to keep pounding at the rock a little bit. And I know people would say, well, four times pounding at the rock in the first half is not enough to make it crack and to give you some greater opportunities. But I think that just we got to figure out how that's all going to work. He does as well. But we do know that when there does get a hot hand, when we do create some of those little spaces and things like that where he can make something out of even nothing or turn a 4 or 5 yarder into that 15, 18, 20 really, really quick. And, you know, that's the spark, that's the energy, that's the start that we need. We just got to figure out ways to maybe do a little bit more in the first half as opposed to just the second.
Well, you had a limited number of plays, right, in the first half, to their credit, Georgia Southern's credit. They were good on third down. They were a little bit of a ball hog type of team, so there really was a 16 plays in the first half.
Yeah, that's the thing. When teams come in and they throw the ball well and they move it around and they don't just take shots and they keep themselves out of those third and long situations, and they can possess the ball. You know, some people would say, well, it's the game now, right? I mean, it's different because you don't get as many possessions because of the 2 minutes that get run off on first down. No, that's that complimentary football, and you want to find ways to get your offense, in particular, the ball more often, and give them greater opportunities, because it does sometimes take some things to get rolling.
Another week, another team with an air raid offense. Purdue, Graham Harrell, the coordinator, played for Coach Leach, right? Hudson Card, another Texas guy. You got your guy. You got a few of them, actually, from Texas at that position. As you look at a guy like Hudson Card, what stands out to their quarterback to you?
I think he's what they're looking for in that position, in particular with some of the, you know, the air raid systems of things. He can deliver the ball. He's got a quick release. He's got a really strong arm. He's more athletic than people know or see, you know, with, not that there's a whole bunch of designed runs. There are some, but his ability to extend plays as well. But I think, to me, when I look at it, it's the delivery, how quick he can get the ball in and out of his hands, you know, a short, you know, arm motion, but yet still have the power and the strength to throw it. I think this is what you're seeing around the country. And I mean that, like, the one unique thing about the transfer portal is I think that you don't see a team like, let's say, Alabama loaded with 5 quarterbacks, you know, sitting in their quarterback room, one right after the other. I think what you see sometimes is some of these guys that may go to there or to USC or something, to Texas, if it doesn't work, all of a sudden they're in a lot of different other places. And in some ways, that's giving some greater opportunities for teams to have a quarterback that I like to say is a multiplier, that has incredible talent. Maybe they didn't start there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this guy looks impressive. And to your point, I was just watching the TV broadcast last week, get the impression that they're perfectly fine with Card running the ball, because they know he has good feet. Number 4, Deion Burks, when he throws it, pretty good target there. Interesting player that they have, too, is number 3, Tyrone Tracy, a transfer from Iowa. He's been at Purdue for a little bit now. It's shifted from wide receiver to running back, but it's safe to say he's going to probably catch his share of balls too, right?
Yeah, I think that there's the versatility that maybe they're looking for in their system. I don't know him before as a running back. I know he was started off at Iowa as a running back. As a wide receiver. I don't know how long he's been a running back, but he's a bigger guy. I mean, he's a 210-pound running back that you wouldn't watch on film and say, oh, he definitely started as a wide receiver. He's a physical guy. You see his ball skills, but you also see the acceleration and some speed that's probably a little bit different.
It's interesting. You know, we were talking earlier in the week, this is known as a fast track down there now. They've got the grass, Northwestern. They cut it pretty short. Wasn't always that way, right? particularly at Northwestern, but they must feel like they've got some speed if they're cutting it that close to
them. I'm sure. It does look, you know, we don't play on a whole lot of grass, sure. So sometimes you're curious as to what that's going to look like. But being in the league for quite a while, I remember times when, you know, Ross Aid was nice and thick and plush, and the Mike Allstats of the world loved it that way, probably. Uh-huh. It looks a little bit different right now, and maybe more closer to the Drew Brees and Vinny Sutherland or some of those other guys that they had when they were throwing it around a little bit more.
Yeah, the Joe Tiller years with those guys, with Brees and Sutherland and that group. Social media clip, I assume that was Kelsey who put it out, Kelsey Sharkey. The storyline down there is that Purdue has had a world of trouble beating Wisconsin. It's been a minute. You're stressing to your guys, they're the Big Ten West champs, right? So, like, whatever happened before, you know, since 2000, you know, from 2004 and on, that's great. But they're the reigning champs.
And that, I mean, you got to take for what it is, right? I mean, you can win games, and we obviously won last year, but you know, to me, if in order to get back what it is that you want and put yourself in a place, you got to start with beating the guys who did it last year. And so, yeah, they are the reigning West champs. And so in some ways, it goes through West Lafayette. And we just happen to have the opportunity on the opening weekend for us of Big Ten football to be going back to where the champs of our side were. And I want guys to forget that, because sometimes you can just envision, well, we won a game. Well, the reality is they were more consistent. They ended up finding a way to be better in the long run than we were last year, and that's what we want to be. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, you know, we've got an opportunity in front of us, and don't forget what it's all about.
And it's interesting, your message to the guys, you mentioned this when at your introduction here, that, you know, there's air raid offense, this, that, and the other, but your thing is it's the most physical team is going to win. That has not changed, right?
I don't think it ever will. I don't care what offense, what defense, and different things like that. It's still a physical football game. And sometimes, I've said this, sometimes we see things a little bit different than maybe it was in the last 8 years, but there's a lot of physicality now that has to be done on the perimeter as well, right? Some of those balls that are thrown out there, I know it's not me either, that the physicality is always up front with the O-line and the D-line guys, but there's some physicality that the most physical group on the edges will make plays as well. And if you can't block out there in space, if you can't win those points of attack, even at the wide receiver and tight ends spots out in space, it's going to limit you what you can do as well. So the game is not going to be that much different, meaning, like, I don't care if in 30, 40 more years they can change whatever rule. Like, it's still a physical football game, and you got to be physical. And the most physical football team, I think, has the greatest advantage of winning.
All right, Badgers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. Our coverage again starts at 4 o'clock. Kickoff from Ross Aid Stadium set for 6 o'clock Central Time. We'll get to the players portion of the program. We'll check in with wide receiver Bryson Green, transfer from Oklahoma State. Big, strong kid with the best yet to come, I think, in his time here at Wisconsin. We'll take a break. This is the Luke Fickell Show, brought to you by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. We'll be right back on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists just supporting artists in their own words.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 57. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 81. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 56. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Time for the players portion of our program. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Badgers receiver Bryson Green. But right now, we have a chance to sit down with Travion Blaylock, the sixth-year senior safety out of Humble, Texas. You'll remember an injury took him out of action all of last year, suffered a knee injury during spring ball of 2022. Those of us who've never been through this can only try to imagine what it's like in that tough recovery process. Well, Travion will give us an idea of what that was all about. But you had better believe that he is thrilled to be back on the field this season.
Yeah, man, it was a great experience. Props to the trainers, man. They got me prepared for this moment. Also, training with my dad helped me prepare for this moment. And just the hard work, it's a lot of hard work whenever you have an injury like that. It's a lot of hours that you put in behind the scenes that nobody sees. And, it felt good to be able to portray that on Saturday and come out with the win and be able to be a big part of that, just playing on defense.
So. You mentioned your dad, Derek Blaylock. A lot of fans watching will certainly remember the name. NFL vet, Chiefs, the New York Jets. That has to be a bonus, right? But you rely on your family under any circumstances, but he's been through it at the highest level. How much do you guys just have a chance to chat about stuff that those of us who never played, we couldn't understand? I mean, you guys probably have some pretty good conversations about the game and some things that you have to deal with, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like you said, he played the game for quite a long time. He played running back, and he played for 7 years. That's kind of uncommon. Mm-hmm. Running backs, the lifespan is usually 3 to 4. So, he played quite a long time, and that's attributed to, the way he took care of his body. I went to him for tips on that, just the first 2 years being struck with injury and stuff, kind of went back to him, asked him some questions, and he helped me out in terms of, things I should be doing to take care of my body. And up until, obviously, the last year's incident, which was kind of out of my control, I've been doing a great job of taking care of my body and making sure that my body's ready to play on Saturdays and being durable in that.
There is, as you mentioned, things that none of us see that you had to do to get yourself back up and running. I don't know if there was a typical day, but could you just take a day and explain to us what it was like for you from the time you got out of bed to the time you went to bed at night? What all made up your day as you were getting that knee up and running again?
Sure, yeah. We still had workouts, even though with the ACL, I couldn't do a lot of lower body stuff in the beginning, but upper body still worked. So, we're still doing upper body stuff with the team and things like that. And then on top of that, after that, I would get with my the PT downstairs, Bailey. She's phenomenal, and she's done a great job. And Duffy, it's my trainer that I primarily worked with, Carell. But I'd put in 2-3 hour days after you know, the work at the upper body workout or whatever the team had for that day. Put an extra 2-3 hours in the training room just doing, you know, strengthening exercises, mobility exercises, just for all the for the knee. And then just recovery stuff after that. So really just putting in the extra time, making sure that my knee was not only strong enough but also able to move. Long hours, man. Long hours. I just remember just being really long days, like getting here in the morning and then not leaving until 3-4 in the afternoon when everybody else might have been gone at around, you know, 1, you know, just making sure that I was ready to go.
It's such a process, but when was it where you absolutely positively knew you were good to go, that you could take off the yellow jersey, that you were ready to go? When was that, and how great did that feel?
That was really fall camp.
Yep.
First couple practices of fall camp, because in spring I was still in the yellow, kind of limited on all my contact stuff. Didn't feel 100%. Felt good enough to go. I felt good out there during spring, but just I still felt like there was a little bit more recovery that could have been going on. And then as soon as I got out there for fall camp, I knew I was ready to go. After that first practice, I just felt amazing. Felt great to be back out there and feeling, you know, close to yourself again. So I would definitely say fall camp. That felt amazing for sure.
It's been a little bit funny from my perspective, because when I sit down with Coach Fickell or when I talk to people, it's offense, 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 air raid, such a change. Yeah. I've had fans come up and say, hey, what about the defense here? Tell us about that. So I'll turn that to you, Travion. What's different about it, and how good do you think it could be here this year?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a little bit more simple in terms of a couple less checks. Just in terms of like a game plan thing, but you know, I've said this a lot, but football is football. You know, cover three is cover three, cover four is cover four, man is man. So in terms of defense, there's different ways to get to all those coverages, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to execute. And I think that's a big similarity between the two defenses. And you know, I think it could be really good. We have the players, we have the personnel. We have the coaches that know what they're doing. So as long as we can execute the game plan every week, man, it's going to be something special this year, for sure.
Every position group has a lot of pride. I've got to think with yourself, Kamoi Ilatu, Hunter Waller, Austin Brown, Preston Zachman, I could keep going. But imagine you guys say, hey, our position group, we're pretty proud of what we think we are, too.
Correct? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Safeties, man. And one thing we talk about a lot in the defense is unit strength. And that's just you know, every unit trying to be the best unit on the field, whether it's a safety, corner, D-line, linebacker, just trying to be the best unit on the field. And on Saturdays, ultimately coming together and winning games. But, you know, the safeties, we're trying to take pride in, you know, being that best unit. And I feel like we do have the pieces for it. And as long as, you know, we just keep getting better from week to week, you know, we could be the best in the country.
Final thought, you play for a lot of reasons, for your school, for your teammates, your case for your family. And I'm not just talking about, you know, your dad or you've got a lovely wife. You've got a young son and a daughter too.
Yes.
So I would imagine every time you're out there thinking I'm playing for them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's something that, you know, is always in the back of my mind, really in the front of my mind, honestly. It's, just being a player that, you know, my family, like my dad and my parents and stuff, can be proud of, but then also, you know, somebody that my son can look up to and my daughter can look up to, and you know, down the line, you know, in the future, when they're like, man, that was my dad on TV, and he wasn't only a great football player, but he was a great teammate. He was a great he was a great leader on this team, and that's really what I want to leave my mark on in this place. So.
And family keeps things in perspective, too, right?
Yes.
I mean, as much as football is on your mind and school, pursuing your master's, that's great to maybe put that aside when you're with family, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's God, family, football, man.
Yep.
And that's the order. You know, put God first, and that's why I try to implement my family. And then, obviously, family. And then after that is football, man. So as long as those first two things are taken care of, then football will take care of itself.
That's Badger safety Travion Blaylock. When we continue, we'll hear from wide receiver Bryson Green as we continue with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Back in a moment on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This football season, let LRS be your MVP in the waste diversion and recycling industry. There won't be any fumbles when it comes to the services that LRS provides its valued customers, especially with services such as waste and recycling collection for businesses, roll-off dumpster rentals, and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction, renovation, or outdoor event. See the LRS difference by choosing the team with over 2,000 dedicated employees that puts trust and reliability first. LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader. Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
In football, every play is about perfect execution. Tackling at the right angle, blitzing at the right second, juking at the right moment. Every move can make or break the game, and sometimes, the player. That's when athletes turn to UW Health Sports Medicine. From muscle tears in a tackle to ACL sprains in a quick pivot, our MVP providers are the Badgers' official team doctors, ready to deliver award-winning care for any injury, so every Wisconsin athlete can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Matt LePay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. During the weekend of September 22nd through the 24th, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $2,999 or more, and get a $100 in-store or online gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax. It's Steinhoffels.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Rolling on with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. And now we visit with Badgers receiver Bryson Green, Jr. out of Allen, Texas, a transfer from Oklahoma State. A rock-solid 215-pounder is Bryson Green. That's up about 10 pounds from his listed weight last year when he was with the Cowboys program. He has a half a dozen catches through the first three games. I think it's safe to say the best is yet to come for Green as a Badger. Well, one thing is for certain, as he was surveying his options when he decided to leave the Oklahoma State program, that it just felt right away when he visited the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I definitely think when I took my visit here, it felt the most home of all the places I visited after I entered the transfer portal, and I think it stuck with me, yeah, especially when I first got here too. So just, you know, balancing things in the spring, really found a home here in the summer, and then fall camp, got to bond with all the guys, and that's when you really, like, get to meet your teammates and things like that. So I'm excited I'm here, and I'm just excited for the opportunity this year.
When you met with the media during training camp, I think you got a lot of reporters' attention because Badger fans remember Seth, your brother.
Yes.
Who, big guy, and as I told you off air, he could be a problem, I mean, with what he could do, play a little quarterback, play a little tight end. But everybody knows about the Wisconsin-Minnesota rivalry. But he kind of encouraged you to come here, didn't he?
He did. He came with me on my visit. I think it was late January. Mm-hmm. But he came with me. He talked with all the coaches, asked questions that I didn't even know could be asked. And, you know, he's a good voice for me, and he's been there, done those things in life. So just having that, like, voice in the back of my head, and when I had the okay from him, I knew it was a good place to go. So,
and you have a relationship, or at least got to first know Phil Longo back in your high school days, correct?
Yes, he was my first. I went to a bunch of camps my freshman year, and he was my first offer at Ole Miss. And, you know, it was the spark of an opportunity of a lifetime, and I think that really stuck with me, and I consider going to Ole Miss just because of that.
Yeah, everybody's glad you're here. Yeah. Now, the thing that strikes a lot of us, too, who watched you at Oklahoma State, I mean, it wasn't like you were a small guy there, but you put on some solid muscle. I know you were rehabbing from an injury, but it was a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, your upper body, you feel a lot stronger now even compared to this time a year ago?
Yeah, I do feel like the off season really gave me a time to focus on my body. And I didn't put any bad weight on. It was more just being in with Coach Austin. He has all the injured guys do a lot of things that help their body and just go through everything. And he really got me more explosive and a lot more things. So I'm like 5 pounds, 4 pounds heavier than I was last season, but I still feel as fast.
And those contested balls, those 50-50 balls, I'm thinking you're going to get more than 50% of those, right? You feel pretty good about that?
Yes, I do. I take really care of that job. And, you know, when I'm given the opportunity, when Tanner trusts me with the ball in my hands and gives me the opportunity to make those plays, I hope to make him proud and all of Wisconsin proud when I'm up there.
I mentioned Coach Longo a few minutes ago. Take us into your world a bit, because if we're watching, we will see Coach Longo go through all of these signs. It's almost like a third base coach thinking, what in the world? How complicated is this offense? All the stuff that he's flashing, all the things that you need to know, is this a difficult offense, or does he keep it reasonably simple?
I would say he keeps it reasonably simple to extent, but you just got to make sure to be in your playbook. Like when I first got here, being in your playbook, speaking, communicating, getting like learned up on all of the signals and all, everything like that. But I think once you find your groove in it, you really get attuned to it, and you really adapt to it pretty fast, because we had a system like that at my old school, and I think he takes it a little step further, but I think it's going to pay off this season.
Coach Fickell talks a lot about competitive spirit. You know, we see it with Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi. I would think in the receiver room, it's more than just catches. It's seeing guys block and all of this. I mean, you guys seem like a tight-knit group, but that competitive spirit applies too, right? You all want to look good at the film room time.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing like going in the film room and seeing what you worked on during the week or during the fall camp, during the off season, come in fruition, and, you know, just the plays, blocking, the physicality and things like that. And of course we can take steps week from week, and that's what the season's for, is just getting better each week.
Final thought as we record this, it's really early in the season, but you know, Oklahoma State, great atmosphere there. Big 12, tremendous atmospheres. You've gotten a taste of it here. What was it like?
It was good. I had a bunch of friends ask about it, because they're like, how's jumping around? It was cool to be on the field while jumping around was going on. I mean, it was a day game. You know, I was excited. A lot of fans being there just for the game opener against Buffalo, and I'm really excited to have some more, like, Ohio State games and in-conference games where our fans really show up and really show me what this place is about. And I really enjoyed it, and I wouldn't take it back for the world. So.
Final one. So those of us in the upper Midwest, you know, the weather could be pretty tough here in stretches. But I suppose even that first game, which was the second hottest, I guess, on record, but for you, man, you'd be like, yeah, I would imagine. It's warm, but you've been through worse.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I would say fall camp in Oklahoma and just season, is those first couple games are really hot, and they're mostly home games because we're playing out of conference. But I would say that had a little advantage, just being on the field and being used to it. I mean, all these guys, even at Wisconsin, we had a pretty hot fall camp, so I think that really helped us just get used to it and acclimated to that temperature.
That's Badgers receiver Bryson Green. Stay with us. We'll check out the other games coming up in the Big Ten this week as we continue with the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table? Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, brought to you by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Our thanks to Badgers wide receiver Bryson Green and safety Travion Blaylock for joining us tonight. Badgers ready to hit the road at Purdue. Our coverage starts at 4, kickoff set for 6 o'clock. Big Ten opener for the Wisconsin Badgers. There are some other conference games going on, including Rutgers at Michigan. The Scarlet Knights off to a 3-0 start this season. The Maryland Terrapins, they've been impressive. They hit the road to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Iowa and Penn State in a matchup of 3-0 teams in Happy Valley. Minnesota will be at Northwestern. Non-conference game, but one of significant interest on the national stage. The Ohio State Buckeyes taking on Notre Dame in South Bend. As for the Badgers, they're trying to keep this streak going against the Boilermakers. It's been 20 years since Purdue has beaten Wisconsin, and that was at Camp Randall Stadium on a late field goal. The following year, 2004, the famous fumble, scoop, and score from Scott Starks that proved to be the difference in a Wisconsin win. Two highly ranked teams haven't added a whole lot of atmosphere in Ross-Ade Stadium on that day. And it has been all Wisconsin ever since. Badgers dominated last year's game at Camp Randall against Purdue and looking to keep it going on Friday night against the team that is the reigning champions of the Big Ten West. Our coverage at sold-out Ross-Ade Stadium will start at 4 o'clock, and the kickoff is set for 6 o'clock Central Time for the Wisconsin Badgers and the Purdue Boilermakers. Our thanks to engineer Dave McCann and Aisha Jackson back at our network studio. For head coach Luke Fickell, I'm Matt LePay. Join me, Mark Tauscher, Patrick Kerb, and the whole crew on Friday night in West Lafayette as the Big Ten season begins, the Wisconsin Badgers against the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll talk to you Friday on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Been listening to the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows around 57. Tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, around 5 miles per hour. More clouds than sun again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 81. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 56. Mainly clear skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki.
Currently, it's 72.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.